Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. It is coming up on 410, 82 degrees on this Tuesday, April 29th. And like every Tuesday, we have Tuesdays with Tommy. Tommy Marquez is a Navy veteran. He was a senior staffer in Congress for many years. And now he gives us the story on our veterans and the information we need to navigate a lot of those systems. Tommy, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show today.
Hey, Rob, it's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you were traveling about. I did see the picture. You're a brand new papa again, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
But you sent me a whole plethora of stuff to talk about today. Let's get started on that. A lot of information here.
Yeah, a lot of things are coming out right now for veterans. They're going to be starting to come out in the next couple of months. And I kind of want to go over some of them briefly if I could. Real quick, there is going to be a new Supreme Court ruling on combat-related special compensation pay and essentially a six-year rule for back pay. So when you apply for combat-related special compensation pay, this is for military service members who are both hurt due to a service-connected disability as an instrument of war. So this means it has to be directly related to war, training for war, or an instrument of war. And you get retirement pay. You could have a portion of that become tax-free, or you could receive both your VA pay and your service-connected disability in some circumstances. However, when you apply for a CRSC, the combat-related special compensation portion of it, it backdates with a maximum of 6 years. Now, based on the remarks that we've already seen and the arguments that were presented orally in the Supreme Court, it does not look good for military service members getting an exemption and them being able to go past the six-year ruling. Both Justice Sotomayor and Justice Alito were not keen on it. They seem to have disagreements with what was being presented to them. Additionally, you know, the Supreme Court is about 50-50 when it comes to ruling on veterans' benefits. I've reported on your show, Rob, in the past, while veterans got the surprise that some of their GI Bill was going to be restored, their post-9/11 GI Bill credits, they also were equally shocked that there was an incident where a man who was in a coma for 20 years applied for VA service-connected disability, saying it should be awarded for back pay because he got in the coma. He fell in the coma while on active duty, was separated, and he had been in a coma for years and was unable to apply due to his medical state. And in that ruling, the Supreme Court was unanimous that he had no availability or no reasoning where he should get it back pay because he simply didn't apply, even though he was medically, you know, unavailable because he was in a coma, which is extremely ridiculous. But this goes to my point that we're always talking about, Rob, about when it comes to veterans hesitating to apply for their service-connected disabilities. I tell people, or any benefits for veterans and military families, apply right away. I can't stress this enough. Don't leave it in the hands of courts and years to go by where you have to sue. Apply right away. Learn your benefits and apply immediately so you can avoid all this, because It's a 50-50 chance that this is going to get changed, and I honestly don't even think it's realistically that.
Wow.
Another story, yeah, I mean, it's sad. Rob, another story I want to kind of talk about is the Army National Guard, and they had a headline in the military.com article about that the Army National Guard is patting themselves on the back that they are almost done with the backlog of incentives for service members reenlisting through the National Guard. And what's important to note is that in January 2024, they reported, the Army National Guard, that is, that about 56,000 soldiers did not get incentives that they were due, and it had been over a year, and that there had been a backlog for those 56,000 soldiers. Some of these bonuses were up to 20 grand. All right? Now they're patting themselves on the back here about 15 months later that they're down to 13,000 soldiers. And they're like, look, we've gotten this huge portion of the backlog reduced. I have a couple points to make on this. One, the fact that it wasn't ever, you know, handled correctly in the first place does not mean you should be patting yourselves on the back that you're almost done with it. Okay. This is the ridiculousness that only happens in like the government. And I'll be honest with you, the military pay system is especially bad at this. So I talk to people about this all the time on social media. And Rob, we've done different pieces about people on your show. We've done different pieces about people who are wrongfully mistreated with our pay, with bonuses, with all sorts of things that have happened in the military. And I don't think it's ill-willed. But when it's 56,000, a lot like this ballot stuff that you were talking about, at one point, is it just incompetence? And we need to reevaluate the systems that are in place. Because if they can't catch simple things like this, like that it's taking over a year to get an incentive military paid, this is ridiculous. Some of these service members, they're actually going to be up for reenlistment here in another year, and they may still not have received the pay that happened 2-3 years ago when they got their last incentive pay directed, but not paid. So that's not good.
And this 56,000 soldiers in the Army National Guard, these are people who need that bonus more than anyone. I mean, they're signing on to serve our mm-hmm. military with the expectation that the government made a promise to them that, hey, you sign on, here's a bonus that we're going to give you. They're looking at that, and they're like, all right, maybe I could pay off some student loans. Maybe I can, you know, help my family out. Maybe I can, you know, survive because I'm getting such little pay on the rate or rank I am. And to have it go on that long, and then for them to brag about when they're still 25% behind, that it's a good thing. I think you hit the nail on the head. That's saying this is not something you should be patting yourself on the back for.
Yeah, and I always make this point when it comes to payroll personnel, their pay is never messed up. And I always make this other point where if you want to fix this is real simple. Make it that no officers get paid who are 06 and above until this is fixed. And I guarantee you, it would be done really quickly. Guarantee it. You can fix it really simply. And then talking about fixes, let's talk about Secretary of Defense's order for restoring good order and discipline through balanced accountability. And he simply
the Don't Walk on Eggshells Act.
Absolutely. No sooner than he put out that video, Rob, I had a million people on my social media giving, again, more misinformation, stating things like, see, he's getting rid of EEOC, which is equal opportunity, that he's going to remove and cause people to get raped, and all these things that this is going to just destroy the process, and whistleblowers are no longer safe. That is not what this order does. What this order does is for the people who are misusing that policy, they're going to restore order, meaning that they should now too be punished when they are proven to be liars. And people then immediately came back at me and said, Tommy, that never happens. You're not listening to the victims. I said, hang on. Let me tell you all a story that I covered on your show, Rob. Army Colonel John Meredith, who was in charge of the 3rd Armor Corps for the United States Army, a West Point grad, an astute officer, already recommended for promotion on the list. Everything was going great for this gentleman until he decided to give a not-so-great fitness report, which is an evaluation for officers, to one of his officers. And what transpired is that officer, in order to avoid that and to ensure that he got promoted, went and conspired with his wife to create a story that he had sexually harassed, groped, and all these other things his wife. Now, what they did was they called him over, the wife did, and said, hey, come over. Bob's acting strange. I need you to talk to him. And when he went over to see him, she then said, well, that's when it happened, that he groped her, kissed her, all these things. The Army pressed charges upon him. They investigated it. They pressed charges about him. But the prosecutors at Army CID, who are their investigative services, their version of the FBI or NCIS, for those of you who follow that on TV, also as incompetent as the FBI and NCIS. They went ahead and prosecuted this gentleman and his wife for standing up for him and removed him from command, ruined his career, all these things. And then it turns out that they knew all along that the wife and the husband, who made these allegations, had text messages saying that they would make this up. They had the whole, the whole thing was in cahoots with each other.
It was all in retaliation to a poor Fit rep.
And by the way, the Fit rep had actually not even come out yet. That's something that is new. He was just concerned that the Fit rep was going to come out.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be glowing. It would just be, you know, average. And that's why they did it. And this individual was relieved of command. His wife was relieved of command. They're never going to get new commands. It's always going to be on their record that their command was removed from them. Their promotions have been withheld. And effectively, their careers as colonels in the, or as officers, excuse me, in the United States Army are over. They're effectively over. They're not going to be in charge of personnel. And these could be potentially good leaders who have now been removed. And it's cleared up, so they're not going to jail, but their careers are over. The individuals who did this, there is no punishment for them because they're protected by the Whistleblower Protection Act.
Even though it was proven that it was all made up.
Yep. They are protected. So what Secretary Hegseth is doing is actually restoring good order and discipline by making it balance. If you make something up, if you're lying, if you're colluding, if you're doing as these two individuals did, and by the way, I hate that their identities are protected by the media. Their name should be out there, just like Colonel Meredith's was. They're going to go after you. You're going to face equal justice if you are lying. And I think that's a good thing because it does two things. One, it protects innocent people from being victimized by this policy. And two, it helps to ensure that we're actually protecting real whistleblowers and giving them the recognition and the we're giving them the ability to come out and speak and not be retaliated against, because now we know there's an additional layer where they could look into these things. And I think that's important.
And you're lessening the chance of taking up the resources of NCIS or CIS or the FBI that could be investigating real true crimes or true stories or true abuses rather than chasing these wild goose chases that are found to be disproven.
And while none of the headlines will bring up those stories that are on these mainstream media articles that are criticizing Secretary Hegseth for this policy, I wanted to share that story because I think it's impactful and it's important to know when people are reading those headlines and thinking that, oh, listen, they got rid of whistleblower protection. That is not what is going on. Whistleblower protection still exists. But what is also going to exist, if you misuse it, if you're lying, if you're colluding, guess what? There will be punishment for that as well.
All right, Tommy. I appreciate you joining us this week. If they want to follow you, my listeners want to follow you, how can they do that?
You can always follow me at iTommyMarquezConsulting on all social media platforms.
All right, Tommy, again, I appreciate you joining us this week. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. Appreciate you.
Thank you.